All right, welcome. Continuing on with Transform the Data Center Immersion, and we are continuing on with a new guest right now, Michael. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. What do you do at Microsoft?
So I'm a senior technical product manager working for the Windows Server Management team, primarily focusing on application management.
There we go. And well, that is a perfect segue because we have application management, DevOps, and the app on-premise, right?
Absolutely.
DevOps is a hot topic these days, I think. So what do you got for us?
Absolutely. We're going to show you some excellent DevOps today, breaking down those communication barriers between developer and operations, and then how we really use the power of System Center to support, manage, and deploy new applications.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Should we kick off?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So let's click into the whole idea of what application management is and how we can support it with Windows Server 2012 and, of course, System Center 2012 SP1. Because we get a lot of questions. You know, I think one of the first ones is, what happens if I want to deploy a new application or increase the capacity of one of my custom applications? You know, generally in the past that meant time, you know, lots of time as I talked to IT about deploying new servers and new infrastructure. Maybe I had to go buy new servers. But we really want to think about application management as flexibility in our infrastructure, moving from this one application, one server model to more of a fabric model where I'm really just requesting resources. And that's one thing that our application management provides is sort of this idea of a self-service catalog. So as an application owner or developer, I can actually just say, you know what, I need extra capacity, and I can utilize our self-service catalog tools to go and request that capacity. And wherever that capacity comes from, as an IT ops manager, I'm going to build capacity as fabric, and that might be made up of one server, it might be made up of 100 servers. That stuff is invisible to our application owners or application managers, where they're just going to say, I need X amount of CPU, X amount of storage space, X amount of memory. Can you cobble that together with me with some virtual machines? So it's a very exciting space. And you can see here that with our self-service catalog provisions, our self-service portal, it's really easy to say, you know what, I want to select certain tiers, certain clouds, certain aspects, and be able to receive those. The great thing also is I can request tiers based on what my application needs, whether I need highly available, maybe shared infrastructure or low impact. And as an IT owner, that may mean clustered systems or block-based storage systems or shared infrastructure or industry a standard hardware. I can offer these as different tiered levels in my organization for application management, performance, and even costing and chargeback.
Right, yeah, and I know, like, in general, right, I mean, a lot of folks, if you don't have this kind of model, a lot of times you get a lot of wasted resources as well because they provision a whole bunch of stuff, and then, you start having to have to do the scream test of unplug stuff and be like, is anybody going to scream?
Exactly.
And that's no good either, right?
Exactly, and then you get the server that sits there and, just beats along at about 5, CPU. 5% CPU for its life, and you've got all that wasted capacity which you can use for other resources as well. So it's very exciting. Yeah. The whole idea of shared resources and dynamic allocation is just key to our application management focus. So the next one is application updates, because application updates have always been a struggle. Once I've got an application out there, how do I deploy a new update to that? And service templating just overcomes that completely, because I create and configure my application as a service template. Basically a service template is I'm configuring the way I'm defining the operation system, maybe the database, the application tier, and the actual application itself, and I'm segmenting that up in an easy consumable form for our System Center environment. So the great way about that is I can deploy this over and over and over again. I'm not just sitting down with a DVD or a bunch of instructions configuring a server. I basically have a set of consumable instructions at a server level.
So how would that work for a Rebecca, a developer-type person, if they wanted to have an update to their application in this scenario?
That's a great idea. So effectively, they've got the complete ability to update the service template. Mm-hmm. So that update may be a bug fix, or it may be a new database, or maybe in a complete new VM. They can develop that and actually push that into the service template. And the concept is that I can go into that service template, update it, update the version number, and then that version will be completely available for our end users to deploy, or our IT deploy, and configure that down into the final system.
Makes it easier for Richard, the IT guy, to say, hey, oh, you got me a new service template? Great, I'll just upload that in the system, and we can make that now available pretty easily.
And it's as simple as that. Yeah. We can automate that as well, mm-hmm. So maybe we can just push it, especially if it's an important update. can be completely automated through our system center tools, or it's as simple as, you know, right-click deploy.
Yeah, that's effectively we can manage that, right?
Great. So you can see that's sort of ending here, and we've gone through a complete upgrade. We're now up to our version 1.5. So it just shows how simple service templating and our service template design, how simple it is to update applications and deploy those as well. All right, so let's go and look at some of the experiences of this. You know, we've talked through some of the great values of it, but let's look at the experiences. And I'm going to walk through the idea of, you know, DevOps and the app on-premise. And we're going to walk through four great scenarios. And I'll quickly touch on what they are. The idea here is that I have an application that has been deployed. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting some feedback that that application is not performing exactly how my consumers of that application really want it. They're feeling that it's erratic, or maybe it's just a little bit underperforming.
Or even worse, right? I mean, you could be a business and maybe you have money that's going through, or a revenue generation for that application, right? And you're totally unaware the performance is slow and people are just leaving your site.
And that's the worst type of scenario, well. You know, I mean, customers are fickle. If they have a bad performance or a slow performance, they don't come back. So mm-hmm. we want to ensure that we're highly performant all the time. So with this one, we're actually going to show some great new monitoring tools to actually be able to monitor that application. When we find faults in that application, we're going to look through our deep application performance insight, because this is incredibly important. We want to get to the problem. Is it an infrastructure problem or is it an application problem? And we want to be able to get to that fast and then be able to provide the best information to be able to go and fix that as fast as possible. Then we're going to provide information on how we send that performance information to development. Because finding it's half the challenge. Getting our developers to fix it is the other half. And we want to provide them the best information to do so.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of pink finger pointing. IT pointing at the dev guys. And it's like, no, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. And it's like, well, no, here's the raw data. there you go.
And,
right?
You know, and we'll even show you how, like, here's the exact line of code that's causing the problem. And we've got that ability yeah. data with APM.
Can you update that line? Because that's where it's at.
And then, as we said before, how we can consistently apply service templates. So we'll show a service template being updated.
Let's do it. Let's jump to the demo.
Okay, so we're going to go into our application management. And let's kick off here. Great, so we're within our operations manager environment. And the first thing we're going to do is look at our global service monitoring. So we've got one pre-configured here. We'll actually come back and configure one. We just want to walk through it and show you some of the global service monitoring aspects. Now, global service monitor is a new technology that was introduced in Service Pack 1. And what it allows is outside-in monitoring. Now, we've had inside-out monitoring before. We've actually had our web application availability monitoring and our web application transaction monitoring. And this is effectively looking at the availability and the expected performance of a web application, a URL, whether it's internal or external. But the concept here is it's the operations manager server doing it. So every 5, 10, 15 minutes, it's going out to the site, testing the site, bringing the data back. With GSM, it's outside-in monitoring. Instead of me doing it from an operations manager point of view, I'm now relying on Azure to do that. It's an Azure-based mm-hmm. service. So effectively, you know, I have 16 points of presence around the world, and they run these tests for me, and then just return the results back to me. The biggest value in that, or I think the two biggest values, is it takes the load off my OM servers in doing that test over again, but I can test from where the customer is. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have a server here in the US and I want to know what the customer experience is like in London, it's really hard for me to test the customer experience in London without putting an OM server in London. Yep. So what I can do with Azure is I can rely on the Azure points of presence in London to actually test the customer experience right there, right where that points of presence are.
Right, and it also could be good, I'm guessing, you know, for a scenario where maybe you start getting complaints coming up of, hey, I can't access the website, and well, maybe one of your global service monitors just states that in that area of the world, hey, it's down, but the rest of everywhere else is working, mm-hmm. and in which case, hey, you know that there's probably just a network issue somewhere out in that region of the world. Right?
Absolutely, that's a great point. Yeah. So you can see here, this is you know, effectively our global services monitor, where we're looking at a external application. So this is our Contoso Electronics cloud app. And this is where we're monitoring from. You can see that we're monitoring from 5 Azure points of presence. So I've got up to 16 Azure points of presence to be able to monitor from. I can also monitor from internal locations. And why do I want to do both? Well, I can bring them both into the same report. So I can still do that internal web application transaction modeling, but I can use the same global service monitor report to be able to view all the performance and reliability of my application. We've also got the ability to do some cool configuration as well. So you can see we can adjust the test frequency down to 5 minutes. But we can also do things like, you know, we're just looking here whether our site's down, 400, you know, looking for an error 400. But I can do transaction response time. If I want this to, I want to make sure this application is available within 1.5 seconds, I can monitor for that. If it's not, send me an alert, I need to know. Mm-hmm. We've got other things as well. We can be very, you know, specific about what we configure, what we look for. We can bring back things like response time and IP time. We can look for certain body and header, and we can even use a proxy server, which is important in, you know, if you've got a secured environment mm-hmm. with a firewall.
Yeah, or even looks like custom HTTP types of methods or requests that go to, let's say, your application, so you know not just, hey, the website's generally up and responding, but the specific app itself is up, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. So that's how basically Global Services Monitor is configured and deployed. So we're just going to cancel out of this. We'll come back a little later on and actually configure one. But what I want to do is actually show you now how we can do web application or how we do the reporting of Global Services Monitor. So that's in my monitoring view here. All right, so if I look under application monitoring, you see here I have my web application monitoring, which is what Global Service Monitor is going to provide. And then I have a number of things over here. So I can actually look at my test state, and I can look at my web application status as well. So I'm just going to click on web application status, and it will say, you will see that I'm all green across the board. So let's go and choose my Global Services Monitor. And as we do that, we'll see some new tasks. We have these two great new tasks here, our detailed dashboard and our summary dashboard. So I click on the detailed dashboard, you're going to see a great detailed dashboard. So let's go pick on Sydney, my little old hometown. Well, say my adopted hometown.
Oh, your adopted hometown.
I'm really from Adelaide, but I don't tell many people that.
Well, now they know. The secret is out. The secret's out.
Okay, so you can see here that this is all the information that GSM has brought back to us. This is, you know, total transaction time, content size. So it's easy for me to view this from afar and go, hey, you know, I can see that I'm having some struggles with this. Even if it's green, I can also see the health of it. You know, is it starting to trend in the bad way or is it trending well? If I want to look at all of them, you know, I can just basically multi-select a number of them.
So do people in Sydney, do they have a really quick first times to bite?
Yes, they do.
Okay, all right, just checking, you know. Just had to make sure, yeah.
So you can see here I can put multiple colors on and make it all pretty. But the big thing is that, you know, it gives me a good amount of information to understand the health, reliability, performance of that application, where the customer is. You know, I'm testing, you know, the mm-hmm. the Sydney experience from Sydney. I'm not testing the Sydney experience from the US. Mm-hmm. Okay, we also have this other view as well called the summary dashboard map. Great, so we've got the Global Service Monitor map up available now. And you can see here, let's go in a little bit tighter to make it easy. You can see I've got some green dots. Green is good.
Green is good. We like green.
We like green.
And I bet you your manager probably likes green too.
Oh, absolutely. And if I click on one of these, you can actually see that I'll get information based on those as that information comes through. So the great thing about Global Service Monitor, if it's all green, I'm all happy. I can eat my sandwich and play my World of Warcraft. If it's red, put it down, time to go to work. All right.
So, we love World of Warcraft, yes.
Yeah. All right, so we've got our availability all set up. So it shows you how we can use our outside-in monitoring now to test the availability of that application. What I want to now look at is the deep performance inside of that application. So let's go to our next immersion experience in really trying to understand how this application is working from a server-side and also a client-side performance point of view. So to do this, I'm just going to show you the application itself.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could have all of the great data in the world, but as soon as that thing turns yellow or red, now you need to have a little more knowledge, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, while that's opening up, I'm also going to open up a little tool which we're going to use to break the application. So you've seen this is our electronics website that we've rolled out that they say they're having some performance issues with. We're actually going to go and, for this demonstration, we're actually going to go create those performance issues. But in real life, you're probably having a performance issue before you
do
this.
So Contoso Electronics looks like they sell Windows phones, huh?
Oh, they certainly do. They sell all good Windows stuff.
There we go.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to basically add a SQL delay utilizing a tool that we like to call Chaos Monkey.
Chaos Monkey.
We can create a lot of chaos with this little monkey. So basically, we're putting a SQL injector in here. And we're just going to refresh our site a couple of times. To pick up the SQL injector. Now, what that will do is we'll actually load some APM alerts, which we can go and have a look at in the environment. So I'm just going to do this a couple times more.
So on our side, we just notice, hey, the website's got a delay.
Yep.
It's a perfect kind of example of what's going on there.
It's a perfect example. You can see that we're getting a delay here because it's trying to load this, it's trying to contact the SQL environment.
That monkey is busy behind the scenes slowing things down.
It certainly is.
Yes.
Okay, I think that should be enough. So we can just go and reset our Chaos Monkey now. If it was only that easy in the real world.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to go back to our Operations Manager environment here. I'm going to go have a look at some of the reports that have come in. So we're basically going to go to our application monitoring, and we're going to go look at our .NET sales environment. So you can see here we have our .NET monitoring. And there's our sales application, and we're going to look at the active alerts. You can see we have a bunch of active alerts, so we're just going to quickly hit the Find button here, and we're going to be looking for information from our environment here. Okay, you can see there's a bunch of these that have just come in. Couple of minutes old, so we know that our APM environment has picked that those faults up that we injected in, and now we can view information about that. And this is one of the great things about APM. It finds this stuff straight away. You can see that we just injected those errors in, and we can see that information straight away.
So if we take a step back here, what is the hook that needs to be involved there in order to be able to pull that monitoring in?
That's a great question. So what we do is we provide two types of monitoring within our APM environment. We provide server-sided monitoring or client-side monitoring. Now, the difference is that in server-side monitoring, we're actually looking at the code that's being executed. So we can go code by code, you know, a stack trace level, and understand, you know, exactly what the code's been executed, and then determine parameters based on that for performance and availability. Now, that's incredibly important for a developer, because if there's a problem, then we can send all that stack trace information to the developer, and we'll show you that in a moment. Yeah. The other side is client connectivity. And client connectivity is, when our client APM environment is, we're testing the performance from a client perspective. So when you open the application, we can actually capture some of your experience. What is your times of opening pages, objects, scripts, and then report that back as well. And we can sample everyone. Well, we can sample 1%, 20%, 50%. You've got complete control about that.
Sounds like the server side is really where it's at in terms of sending that data back to the developer.
Exactly.
And that's, I'm assuming, just a chunk of code or an agent, perhaps?
Yes, yeah. We inject an agent into the website. So when you set up APM, you go and discover the service itself, and then basically when you set the monitoring up for it, it will inject a, you know, either some JavaScript or some AJAX code into it. We'll restart IIS and we're all done. From that moment, we're monitoring.
Yeah, so pretty quick and easy, it sounds like, no matter what kind of web app you have, to just get it going.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
So what we can do now is we can look at a server performance exception. So we've got a number of service performance exceptions here. If we click on those, you'll see this information pop up. Let's click on it and make it a little bit bigger. So you can see that, you know, we're getting some information here. So we've configured, we basically have a threshold of 500 milliseconds. So you know what, we've wound this down really low. So we're saying, hey, you know what, if this website delays by more than half a second, we want to know. Now, in real life, you're probably going to have, you know, a threshold a little higher than that, but we wanted to give you an example. And that's completely configurable.
Right, and of course, like repeat count one, you may say, hey, after, you know, X number of instances is maybe a little more realistic, because you could have a little small glitch or something.
You don't want, like, false positives and stuff like that. So you want at least the repeat count to be two and probably more based on where you are.
Makes sense.
Some other things as well is we pull in the normal, Operations Manager product knowledge into this as well. So this can give you, especially as an IT professional, an understanding of where's the first thing I should be looking at just to discount that this is not an infrastructure level. So this will provide information. And maybe we have a disk IO queue for an IIS server. Maybe we should need to look at that. But we're expecting Operations Manager to pick that up. One of the great things is because we integrate APM and Operations Manager management packs together, the system will actually define, when it finds an APM error, will actually look around the system to see if there's any infrastructure errors themselves. So we've got that great tracing in itself. We can also capture things like company knowledge, exactly what you've had in the Operations Manager environment. Great, so we've logged on here. You can see this is a great performance alert. If I hit the expand all, you actually see that it's a SQL parameter that's actually causing our delay problem. I can click on this and get all this information. Now this is great information for a developer. You can see that I have huge amounts of information available, collection notes, all this information. We've got some other great things as well, especially, you know, if I want to look at similar events, related events, distribution change. Maybe I've got a problem which is caused by multiple parameters and it's tracing that through. And especially related events, as we talked about aspects of other management, maybe I'm picking up infrastructure alerts, all this information will be hooked in with our related events. One of the great things is also I have access to performance counters. So, you know, I can look at each one of these and apply them and see, view this performance counter information. Now, you're probably going to ask me, why is this important? Well, what's important about this is my developers have access to this tool. That's why it's a web console. It's not part of Operations Manager. And my developers don't want to be in the Operations Manager environment. Like I, as an IT guy, don't want to be in the TFS environment or Visual Studio environment.
Yeah, and then configuring role-based access and giving them all these permissions and then expecting them to learn a console. It's like, I don't know about
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So we give them a web console that we can both use, and all this information, they can access this, and then also I can export the IntelliTrace log and get that information to them. So that's really, really powerful.
And those counters there, those would be counters that we've set up beforehand, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that's probably what some kind of baseline template that we use for things, yeah?
It certainly is.
Okay.
It certainly is.
Okay.
So, and we can got complete configuration of that as well. So that's going to be, that's really, really exciting. So the next thing, you know, once we've got our, you know, we've got this APM environment set up, the next thing I really want to do is work out how I can get this into the developer environment. And this is what we really want to do. We want to now be able to send our performance information to our developers. And we do this by a new environment or a new tool we call the TFS Sync. So what it allows us to do is now hook Team Foundation Server with Operations Manager. So when I have an alert in Operations Manager, I can synchronize that as a work item or a bug in Team Foundation Server. They get a ticket ID on that time, and those are now connected together. So that's a very exciting thing. Now, the easiest thing is once I've set up the TFS synchronization, which is really all I need to know is, you know, we need to have a shared service account across the two, and I just need to know its URL and what are the libraries I want to do. Effectively, at that stage, I'm setting a performance, an alert status, to assign to engineering. So once I've set that to assign to engineering, and I hit the OK button right down here, you can see that's moved to assign to engineering. That information is now going to be synchronized with the Team Foundation Server environment. If I go down here and look at my alerts, anything that sits in the assign to engineering is going to now synchronize with Team Foundation Server. And if I scroll across here, we might be lucky to see, let's go and pick on one. There you go. So there's a ticket ID that comes from Team Foundation Server. Mm-hmm. So that's the ticket ID in TFS being synchronized with my solution in Operations Manager.
Well, it seems pretty powerful. You can go from just hands, you know, once you get this infrastructure set up in place, from hands off to it detecting a problem, in this case with SQL delays, mm-hmm. Finding the code that is related to that delay or that issue that you've had, sending it and automatically assigning it as a bug in TFS assigned to developer.
Exactly.
And you as the IT guy, you're like, hey, I'm sitting back just making sure things
like to
are
call
good.
It hashtag delegate.
Hashtag.
But I mean, the great thing is, as I said, the developers have tool to access to the same diagnostics tool, which is an easy web right. console. And they have I can attach the IntelliTrace log with them. And IntelliTrace, with their debug and symbols, when they open that, they'll access to their debug system, it will point out the offending line of code that's causing that SQL issue, and even with the MSDN integration, teach them how to fix it.
Right, and then you as the IT guy, you can go back to cut the rope or, you know, whatever else you want to be doing, right? No.
Exactly.
Yeah, there
exactly,
you go.
Exactly. Everything's green. Everything we're going to get.
That's right. We're good, green. Right?
Okay. So now let's take that jump. So we've sent that to the developer. They've assigned it to one of their guys, and he's fixed it. And now they've updated the service template.
Okay.
And I've got a message from my application owner or my development organization that they have now updated that template, and I now want to deploy a new version of that application to my environment. Now, in the past, if someone hands me a new application to deploy, wow, that could be an interesting time for me. And what happens? I'm like, what have you changed? And they go, oh, we've changed a bunch of SQL configuration. I'm like, wow, and you have to spend a long time understanding that. Service templates takes that all away because all the configuration is there in the configuration file. My database tier, my application tier, my web tier, my OS config tier. And then I basically, if I want to roll a new one out, I just basically roll that new service template out and we'll reconfigure the application with the new settings.
Okay, let's see it.
All right, so we're going to just quickly wander back to my little Contoso app over here. And what you're going to, if I go down here, you're going to see that our current version is 0.6. So what we want to do is update to the new version, which is fixing this small bug fix. So I'm going to open up a technology which we call App Controller. App Controller is a fantastic technology for an IT professional and also for an application owner because it gives me a complete view of my clouds and my applications end to end. Okay, so you can see here, if I look at across my organization, I can view things like my services. And my services are effectively a library of templates, a library of information which I can use to deploy. So here's my application. So we have lots of applications in this environment. So I can go search for my application, which was right down here. So here's the application that I want to now deploy. So to actually deploy this application, all I really need to do is right-click it and hit deploy. Now it's going to run me through a number of things. The first thing you're going to see is what cloud to deploy it on. So now I can actually choose the cloud itself. All right, so I'm going to hit the right-click. I'm actually going to hit the upgrade button because we're servicing this application. So I just hit that. You're going to see that here is the service template for that application. So I'm going to choose a new release. And it will show me all the releases available. The great thing about Service Template, it's not just upgrading an application, I can roll back. So if I put a new release out and there's a bug in that release, I can actually pull back to a previous just by the click of a button
right.
as well.
And it may even be something right with the Service Template configuration. They said, oh, I want to add 6T or servers instead of 6 or something
exactly.
like that, and now we need to go back to the old one, right?
Exactly. So also here, you can see when I've clicked that button, it's showing me where I'm deploying or which cloud I'm deploying that to. Now in here, we're lucky we have an unlimited cloud, but maybe, as you said, there's a couple of new VMMs. Maybe not 60, but there's 6 new VMMs.
Yeah, 6 new VMMs.
6 new VMs associated as well. And I'm deploying it to a cloud that may not have that capacity. This gives me the view of the current capacity I have in my cloud. Maybe I need to use that self-service technique that we showed before to actually request further capacity to deploy my new service template. Mm-hmm. But we're all good here, so we can click OK. So you can see our information is all available there. There's my machine tier, my instance, my corp information, my service app. I can now hit the upgrade button. And as simple as that, with a summary, I'm now deploying or upgrading this new service template. And you can see that my VMM service upgrade has started.
So then pretty quickly, right? I mean, you're going to see that app on the public website get updated.
Exactly.
And those resources all get provisioned in between.
While we were talking, you can see that it's gone upgrade complete.
All right, wow, that is pretty powerful stuff. I mean, we've shown the whole flow of going from monitoring, finding the error, handing the fix off to the developer to get fixed, them updating the application, and then you deploying that application all in a short amount of time.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, I know we have one more module on the DevOps stuff, so I'm excited to see what you got up your sleeve.
Right.
But for now, closing out.